Got men over here in the box. It's a good breakout. Great chance here for Nolito, and what a save from Lindegaard. Oh, that's brilliant. Now, two United players getting their own way there. Smalling's one of them. Curling effort, fabulous save by Anders Lindegaard. Aguero, 20 yards from goal with an excellent curler. Lindegaard called into action. Bennett, man on the overlap. Good chance here, took a deflection, good save by Lindegaard, and Evra nods it back.
That is a terrific save. That is a terrific save from Lindegaard.
Hello and welcome to a very special edition of Red Voices, the official Manchester United podcast. I'm Helen McConnell, and this week I'm joined by Adam Marshall, Nick Kopak and Anders Lindegaard, coming up in today's show. We catch up with Anders Lindegaard and look back on a disappointing international period for the home nations. We look forward to United's home fixture against Wigan Athletic.
I don't think it's going to be an easy match. Wigan has been very good against the big teams.
We turn our attention to Champions League football as the Reds prepare for their first fixture against Galatasaray. We quiz Anders and find out if he really knows his teammates.
You know, my girlfriend always says you don't remember anything. But that's more about keys and stuff like that.
And finally, the Danish goal stopper will answer fans' questions, which have been sent via manunited.com. OK, firstly, Nick, we'll talk about internationals. What did you make of the England game?
England had a lot of possession and a lot of chances, and I think they'll be disappointed they didn't beat Ukraine. Obviously, the first game against Moldova, I think everyone knew what was going to happen there, and 5-0 was a pretty comfortable scoreline. You didn't expect much else. Tom Cleverley was very impressive in that match. Didn't have sort of quite the same impact on the Ukraine game, and unfortunately for Tom, missed a couple of chances in front of goal. But Danny Welbeck came on, played very well, almost, you know, changed the game a bit, I think, for England when he came on. And he'll be impressed. And but you know, Tom's early on in his international career as well. He's only played a handful of games really for United, so it's fantastic. He's in the England team, and he's going to learn from every experience that he has.
Anders, what do you make of Denmark's chances of qualifying for the World Cup this time round?
It's going to be difficult. We're in a hard group, as we always are. I think we're never really lucky to get a good draw, but it should be difficult to get to the World Cup in Brazil. It always should, and yeah, as I said, we're in a hard group, Italy and Bulgaria, and yeah, but it's a lot different to play for the Danish international compared to being an English citizen. I can imagine, because the impression I have as a foreigner of the English guys going with the national team is a very hard job for them to do, because often they're massive, they're massive. What do you say? Everybody expect them to win.
Pressure.
The pressure is massive on them, and it must be very hard to deal with for them. The British people is they expect a lot from the team. They expect them to win every game. They expect them to win the World Cup. And as soon as they don't perform, they're giving the players a hard time, so I can imagine it's very difficult to be an English national team player compared to being a Danish.
So, Anders, what are the expectations like then on Denmark from Danish people?
The expectations is we do well, but the view on Danish football, the view on the Danish national team from the public is a bit different. I think we're not quite as much as institution as the English national team is. We're not as close to the public as the English national team is. It's not in Denmark. We're trying to build up what we had in the what we call the happy 90s, where we won the European Cup, and we had this feeling that the Danish national team was something the whole country was very proud of. That's not how it is anymore. Mm. Now, that is something we're trying to get back to again. Also, we did a good European Cup, but I still think it was disappointing we didn't go through. If you look at all the small teams, you almost always have a small team doing really well in a European Cup or in the World Cup. And if a small team should have done really well, I think it should have been us because we have a really good team.
You mentioned those happy 90s. What do you remember of that Danish side that won the European Championship?
That was where I made my memories as a young football player, and that was all the players in the Danish national team in the 90s was the big stars. Mm. It was guys you looked up to. A lot of good things came out of winning the European Cup. First of all, the seeding, do you call it the seeding?
Yeah.
Gets much easier. You see it now with Greece. Every time they get in an easy group, even though they don't have all respect for Greece, but they don't have a national team you can compare to France, England, Spain, and so on. So a lot of good things comes with it. Also, all the players from the team who won the European Cup, they went to big clubs, and it started a whole era for Danish football. And that is an era that has been ending over the last 10 years, and we have to rebuild it up again. And it's difficult.
Do you enjoy the international break, Anders? Do you enjoy getting away from Manchester for a while and going home?
I like Manchester a lot, and I enjoy my life here with my girlfriend and everything. But I enjoy coming back home and be around Danish people. It's before I played in Norway, and going to Norway, being Danish is not very difficult because we're very similar. And even though English and Danish are all Europeans, we're in the same continent, we're not very similar. There's a big difference. So I enjoy being around Danish people and yeah, get home, eat Danish food, all these things.
Family.
Yeah.
In terms of the other games, Nick, Robin van Persie picked up a bit of an injury, and maybe Kagawa.
Yeah, it seems like it hasn't taken those two long to get struck down by the Manchester United curse that seems to hit all our players. We've not had much luck with injuries in the last 18 months, really. We don't know exactly the extent of van Persie or Kagawa's injuries. We hope it's not too bad. To be honest, you know, Kagawa flying all the way to Japan may not have even been involved against Wigan anyway. He may have been rested after such a long flight. So. And you know, we're not short on options in midfield, so if he is out, then you know, I think we'll be able to cover that. And Danny Welbeck can fit in for Robin if Robin doesn't make it. Danny's played this season, but he hasn't really played too much as a centre forward as he did last season. So it'd be good to see Danny and you know, Chicharito as well. Again, the forward department, we've got plenty of options. So you know, we hope that both those players are fit, but I don't think it's the end of the world if they don't make it.
I guess that's the whole point of having a squad, isn't it? I mean, we talk all the time about that, don't we? And with Wayne and Robin potentially out, it just shows you that you can't have too many good players, can you? You know, to come in and fill in otherwise, because we've got a lot of games coming up now. We've had this little break. We've got games in midweek, the next couple of weeks, haven't we? So the games will come thick and fast. I'm sure everyone will get the game. I think the manager says in the programme this week, you know, the players haven't been playing so much, we'll be playing. And it's when we're going to really count upon them, you know, need them to come to the fore.
Nick, obviously Wigan this weekend. We've got good memories against Wigan at Old Trafford, maybe not so much away. What's your thoughts on the game? We'll want to avoid.
We score a lot of goals against Wigan. In the past, it's not uncommon for us to hit 3, 4, 5 past Wigan, especially here at Old Trafford. So I think we'll be looking to do that again. Maybe, you know, 5's maybe being a bit greedy, but I'll take a couple. I think maybe what's most important, and Anders will probably agree with this, is that we keep our first clean sheet of the season. That's something that we've not done yet. So I think it's as important that we get back to, you know, that sort of solid defence that Manchester United is known for, and we keep a clean sheet as much as it is to score a few goals.
Anders, of course you played in the game against Wigan, which was 5-0. What do you remember of the game?
It's funny, I was just thinking, I don't remember much from that game. It was one of the few games that I played at Old Trafford last season where we had a comfortable win. Most of them we won 1-0. But I think Nick is completely right saying that we need to get back to basics. We need to keep our clean sheets. I can tell you as a goalkeeper that it's extremely annoying to let too many goals in, to let more goals in than you should be in Manchester United. It's stressing, and it's what it's all about for us defenders and goalkeepers, is to prevent the other teams from scoring. So I think that is going to be crucial. But I don't think it's going to be an easy match. weekend has been very good against the big teams the last couple of seasons, and they've had good results almost against all of us. So we have to take this assignment very seriously, and I definitely don't think it's going to be easy.
And it's obviously a team game, and as long as the team wins, that's the most important thing. But as a goalkeeper, even if you win 3-1 and you've let one in, do you still walk off a little disappointed?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think a striker, if you win 5-0 and you're one of two strikers and you don't score, I think you walk off the pitch disappointed. That's the mentality you need to be in a club like United. You won't make it this far if you don't have that mentality. It's definitely very important to think like that. And yes, it is extremely annoying to let in goals, even though we win 5-1. I've said before, I would 10 times rather win 1-0 than 10-1.
Yeah.
Even though I'm sure the manager don't agree to me.
Especially after last year, going on goal difference.
Yeah, especially.
In terms of the Southampton game, how did you feel in that game?
I felt personally a bit rusty. It was my first game in seven months for the first team. And I felt a bit rusty. The important things for me in that game was not to make any mistakes. And it was to have safe hands. The thing not working for me in that game was my feet in first half. I wasn't good enough with the ball, but it's a thing I'm not worried about because it's a very fundamental thing of my personal game to have good feet to be able to play with the back four. So there's nothing to worry about.
You talked about not wanting to make a mistake. It seems like as a goalkeeper, one mistake's all it takes, doesn't it? If you're a striker, you can afford to miss a few chances and no one really remembers. But
yeah.
I guess, is that just part of being a goalkeeper? You learn to live with that?
Yeah, it is. That is the kind of pressure we're under. As you say, a striker can make a mistake and it won't have much impact on the game. If a goalkeeper makes a mistake, you're almost 100% sure that it will cost the goal and might even have an impact on where the 3 points are going or where the point is going. That is the kind of pressure we live under, and you know that when you sign up to be a goalkeeper, especially in a club like Manchester United. So that's just how it is, you have to deal with it.
It's interesting, the manager said about we worked on Southampton hitting the back post a lot. Is that something that we do quite a lot in, you know, before games, the specific tactics of the other teams? Do you work on that in training?
Yeah, you always prepare yourself for the next opponent. Each team has got their way of scoring goals, typically. Some teams brings in a lot of crosses, other teams try to play a lot through. In the goalkeepers department, we prepare for the most likely situations to occur. Yeah. So if we play Barcelona, we won't be doing crosses for a week before that. It makes all sense.
Stoke, maybe the long throws. Into
exactly.
The
yeah, things like that. Yeah, it's the big Chinese general. What was he called? Wu Tzu or something. He always said half the victory is knowing your opponent. So it's a very important part of being professional and an important part of becoming best in the world.
Adam, obviously the boss has two very good goalkeepers to choose from. It must give him a bit of a headache.
I think so. Like saying earlier, it's about the squad, isn't it? And you know, Sam's also a good goalkeeper, and Ben, who's out on loan as well. I mean, it's great that we've got so many people competing for the jersey. I think, you know, it was made clear at the start of the season, Eric Steele did an interview with MUTV, didn't he? He said, you know, he wants Anders to push on, and obviously to try and get the first choice place, really. And that was what pre-season was about, I guess. But then David came back a bit earlier than we would have thought because of Spain in the Olympics. So I think it's great that he's got that competition. And, you know, we're very lucky to have two of the best goalkeepers around. I don't think too many other clubs have got two goalkeepers of that calibre on their books, really.
I think the manager would much prefer to have two good goalkeepers than one good one and one not so good.
It must be, hopefully, it's kind of ticklish headache he gets, like a good one, not one of those migraine. Yeah. Do you call it migraine?
Migraine, no. Migraine. We don't want migraines.
No, we don't want that, right?
I guess he has it all over the field, like we say, when everyone's fit. I mean, how we sometimes try and pick the team in the office the day before a game, and sometimes you think, oh, I can't leave him out, I can't leave him out. And
it's always wrong.
It's always wrong as well.
We never pick the correct team.
Well, but it's also the situation we have now with, now you mentioned Van Persie comes back with a little bit, and Wes is probably out. So you need world-class players in each position, and the goalkeeper is no different.
Just talking of team selection, we'll start with you, Nick. What's your thoughts on the team this week? Who it might be?
I'd leave Anders on the bench.
Thank you.
You want me to do an 11?
No, just to, obviously Adam had said that the manager said people will play who haven't played many games.
I think we might see a few new faces in the team. I think there might be people like Anderson will start. Tom, for instance, Tom Cleverley, he started all of United's games so far, and he's played two games for England. So he may be given a little bit of a rest. But it's also important we don't underestimate Wigan. I think it's a cliche, and everyone says it, but there are no easy games. And I think especially at the start of the season, when teams are a little bit, not everyone will be at peak fitness by this stage. Some people will be, but others may have come back a bit later. So the teams sort of maybe balance, they even themselves out a little bit more at this stage of the season, and you get some unpredictable results. So I don't think you want to be taking anything for granted.
Obviously, firstly, glad to have Champions League football back. It really feels like the start of the season. Well, for me anyway, that's how I feel.
I think so.
About it.
I mean, it's like everything, I guess. It's only when you're not in it that you miss it so much. And after Christmas, not being in it did hurt quite a bit, watching the games, not seeing us involved. And it was unusual because we've done so well, and perhaps we shouldn't take it for granted like maybe we had done.
That Europa League music isn't the same as the Champions League.
And Thursday nights just aren't the same, are they?
You know, all credit to that. I mean, they were good games in the end, as it turned out. But I think we got a hard game first. Galatasaray are going to be tough, one of the toughest teams in the group, obviously. I'm sure it'll be a decent atmosphere here, and hopefully we can get off to a good start. I know that everyone will be keen to sort of make up for last year.
We don't want to dwell too much on last year's Champions League, but we have talked about it a bit before, Anders, but obviously this season, we don't want that to happen again.
No, definitely not. That is not the Manchester United way last season. We did wrong. I think we took too light on especially the game here against Basel, where we were up 2-0 or 3-1, or how was it?
2-0 up, yeah, and then we had to get the late goal.
Yeah, and we got to 3-3 in the end, yeah. And really like dragged a point to our account on Old Trafford against FC Basel after being up 2 goals. That's not good enough. And I don't know why I was like that last season, but I think we gained some experience this season, and I think that is very important all over, but especially in Champions League. We have some more experienced players coming in, and it's going to be very important for the team, like Van Persie. So I think we stand stronger this season, and we can. I'm sure we can all agree that it wasn't good enough last season. We don't want that to happen again.
Do you, as a player, because I know whenever I come into the stadium in the night of a Champions League game, there's a buzz. You can't wait for the music to begin, the Champions League music. Do you feel that as a player? Does it feel different playing the Champions League?
Well, I haven't been so privileged that I've played a Champions League match on Old Trafford yet. But it's a situation I'm looking forward to. Because I want that to happen, and I need that to happen, and it is exactly that situation you're describing. There is something you look forward to. The music starts playing, and you walk in, and that is exactly the moment I've been watching on telly 5,000 times the last 15 years.
What about on a personal level? Your performances against Benfica and Galatasaray last year. Were you pleased with those?
Yeah, very pleased. I think I did. I personally did well in Champions League, but yeah, it's a team sport. We had a decent result in Benfica. We got what we came for in Romania.
Yeah.
So I was pleased with that. But it's a team sport, and we didn't do well enough, and that includes me.
Yeah, well, I think what was unusual about last year's Champions League campaign was the results at Old Trafford, and normally you can almost guarantee United will win the home games, and then you maybe you get a draw or a win away and you're through the group. It was their home form last season that actually let us down, and that's really unusual, and that's why I think it's important we start with a win this time.
Also in Europa League, we lost home against Ajax, and we how did
a
we
draw,
do against
wasn't it? Yeah, Bilbao in the end, late penalty.
How tough a test do you think it's going to be against Galatasaray, firstly at home, Adam?
They were after some pretty attractive signings, I think, during the summer. I think Dimi was one of the players they were trying to sign. Didn't get him, obviously, in the end. But they've got some good players. Players who have sort of... I think Melo is one of their players who's doing OK, but sort of players who have been around the Italian league and that who've gone over there.
So. Milan Baros is there. And,
a few players we'll recognise.
Used to play at Arsenal.
A couple of its sort of Premier League players. They'll be determined to do well against us, no doubt. I think Abouye's probably been on the end of a couple of heavy beatings. So we'll have to wait and see. They will be tough. They've got players with experience, like just mentioned, and they're always going to be hard teams to play against, especially when we go out there as well. We all know what it's like out in Istanbul.
That trip away to Turkey will be very difficult.
OK, Anders, these are some quiz questions to see how much you know about your time at Man United and your teammates. OK, firstly, can you name the starting 11 from your debut against Southampton in January 2011?
Come on.
That is tough.
That's a hard question.
Mo was at the top. I was in goal.
Yes.
Johnny and Chris in the middle. Must have been Fabio on right back.
Yeah.
And who played the left back? It was a youngster, wasn't it? No? Was it Pat? No. I screwed it up there. No. You know, my girlfriend always say you don't remember anything. But that's more about keys and stuff like that. I don't know.
Shall we tell you what it begins with?
Just give it.
O'Shea, Evans, Smalling, Fabio, Gibson, Scholes, Anderson, Obertan.
Of course.
Fernandez,
Obertan.
Milan.
Of course.
Right.
I can see it.
Now you can visualise. Okay, in that game we won 2-1. Who scored?
Mo and. Who was the other striker?
Did he come on?
Hernandez.
Yeah, it was him.
Yeah, it was. Who did you make your international bow against for Denmark, and in what month and year?
Who we played against?
Yes.
We played against Iceland. We won 1-0. Scored in 87 minutes. And it was the game was played in 2000 and what is that? That is 2 years ago. That is September 2010.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Your girlfriend's wrong about your memory.
I know.
Yeah.
Impressive.
He only remembers things about football.
Not the keys.
You made your Danish Superliga debut for Odense Bold Club against Silkeborg IF in November 2006. What was the final score?
3-1. Why didn't you just say yes then? Why did you have to go?
Because I was waiting for you to say who won.
We won.
Yeah.
I know that.
Just checking. Okay, and just finally, who is older, Michael Carrick or Patrice?
Must be, I don't know, is that like a month between them or something?
Very close, yes.
It's Patrice is older.
He is, by 2 months.
I knew it.
Okay, we've got some fans' questions here for you. Firstly, from Joe in Manchester, and he said, if you had the chance to choose any back four in the world to play in front of you, who would that be?
I think it depends a lot on what club you are in, what kind of football you're playing, and what league you're playing in. I mean, it's very difficult to answer. I'm very satisfied with the four players we have right now, and also with the substitutions we can make, and I think we can make it suitable for the various opponents. So I think I'm just gonna stick to what we already have, and I'm avoiding anyone getting angry in the locker room.
Are there any defenders from other clubs that you admire?
I've always admired Vida as a defender, and I still admire him. Training with him every day and being so lucky to play games with him once in a while. He's extremely strong. He wins all his duels and headers, everything. He still needs to pick up a bit more from his injury, but it's slowly coming. The pieces are coming together, and I see him as the best defender in the world.
Okay. The next one is from Andy in Surrey, and he says, when you signed, were you under the impression you would be United's number one?
No, I was not. I knew, for me, it was going to be a long shot. I knew that I was not intended to be the obvious goalkeeper after Van der Sar. I knew there was going to be very tough competition from one of the biggest names in the world. But it's been a dream for me to play as a number one for Manchester United as long as I can remember. And it's a dream I never want to compromise. So there was no question mark in my mind when United put a contract in front of me and said, we want you to join the club, and we want to develop you, and it's up to you how far you can go. So there was never a question in my mind to not to sign for United. It's my biggest dream, and I'm living it.
Well, that brings us on to another question from Scott in Prestwich, and he said, you were a United fan growing up. Is United the only club in England you would have signed for?
It probably wasn't, to be honest. It was the dream club, but it was probably not the only club. For me, England has always been the dream place to play also. It's the kind of football I watched since I was a kid, and it's the kind of football I admire. Sorry. So, it was a dream club, but first of all, I just wanted to get to England.
I think it's different for players. Like, fans always think, if I'm a Manchester United fan, I think, oh, I'll never play for any other team apart from Manchester United. But, you know, for a player, it's a job, isn't it, football?
It is, and I think there's a lot of fans all around the world that gets a bit blinded of that. That you always have to remember, it's a job for us football players. We need to get butter on our bread, and I know a lot of us get a lot of butter on our bread. But you know, club feelings is not a very modern term anymore. I mean, I think it's old fashioned, and some of us are just so lucky to play for the club we really want to play for.
Okay. Next question is from Matt in Salford, and he said, does the rivalry between the goalkeepers affect your friendship?
Not at all. I can with a hand on my heart say that not at all. I have a very good relationship with David. We're very good friends. I have a lot of respect for him, and I feel he's got a lot of respect for me too. So it doesn't affect us at all. I would say more the opposite. We support each other very, very much. From the first day he came to the club, we've both been telling each other, I think you can try and solve this situation in a different way, and always trying to guide and help each other. I'm a bit older than him, and he's a bit more experienced than me in terms of playing games. So we can help each other in a lot of things, and I think the whole environment created for us by Eric Steele is very good. I'm sure it's not an easy job to have two qualified goalkeepers that both want to play as number one. And obviously there can only be one. It's not an easy job to keep us both happy, keeps us both motivated, and keep a character where you want to play for him, you want to win for him, you want to perform for him as you want to perform for the manager. and Eric is doing a fantastic job on that.
Have you ever seen any footage of Eric playing? Has he pulled it out and showed you?
No, I don't. I don't want to see it because I'm afraid I'm going to lose respect for him totally.
He had a tash, didn't he, in his
moustache.
Did he?
Yeah. We'll get the pictures.
God.
Okay, before we go on today's podcast, you, the listeners, you can win a signed shirt by Anders, and he's going to tell you himself what the question is and how you can win it.
You can win my signed shirt by answering this question. What was the number I played with last season before I picked number 13?
Okay, you can enter the competition to win that signed shirt at www.manunited.com/podcast, and we will tell you who has won the competition next week. Okay, thank you to Nick, to Adam, and of course Anders. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, very much.
Good. I've been MUTV's Helen McConnell, and thank you for listening.